Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At 7:51 a.m. on January 12, 2007, a young man wearing jeans, a t-shirt, and a Washington Nationals baseball cap began playing his violin in a crowded D.C. subway station. He performed for the next hour playing six classical pieces. And during that time, about 1,100 people walked past him. Some people even tossed money into his violin case to the grand total of $32.17. Of all the people that passed by, only seven stopped to listen for more than 60 seconds. Who was playing the violin in such a place? It was Grammy Award-winning violinist Joshua Bell, who had just previously filled Boston Symphony Hall. Usually, Bell's talents cost about $1,000 an hour. But on this day, he only made about $32 for an hour's worth of work. You can't fault his violin. It was worth $3.5 million. You can't fault his song selection. He chose a Bach piece described as one of the greatest achievements of any man in history. How could normal, everyday people miss such a person in their midst? How could this happen? Sure, people were having their shoes shined on either side of them. Sure, people were buying lattes and lotto tickets and their subway passes. Sure, people had to buy their ticket to get to work, but they missed this. How could this happen? Normal, everyday people miss such a famous and talented person in their midst. In Psalm 8, David wonders the exact opposite. He wonders, how could such a majestic and mighty, creating and compassionate, faithful and forgiving, helpful and holy, important and intelligent God notice me? Little, old, unimportant, average, normal, run-of-the-mill, status quo me. To use David's own words, what is man that you are mindful of him? David's right. What is man that God would notice you, me? And this morning we will wonder with David in the words of Psalm 8. And so David begins our psalm not with a question, but an exclamation of praise. The sentence doesn't have a question mark, but an exclamation point. He says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. He's not wondering. He is praising. God's name is any and every revelation of himself. It's who he is and what he has done. He acts on behalf of our salvation. This name, this God, David praises. And this name is majestic and abounding in majesty and is revealed as such through all the world. Bears witness to this. But this majesty is not limited to just earth. David says, you have set your glory above the heavens. This majesty and glory of God is revealed above, where the stars and angels praise our Lord and his name in their own unique way. The majesty of God's name is evident everywhere, both in heaven above and on earth below. It is praised and to be praised. However, David notes this sad reality. There are some voices and some people that ridicule God and mock those who believe in him. Just turn on the TV, go on Facebook or Twitter, open the newspaper and you'll see it. A world often denies God and his wonderful role in our creation, instead attributing it to hundreds of millions of years, a big explosion and the process of evolution. There's no praise of God there. A world ridicules and insults those who believe in a seven-day creation, often questioning our intelligence and sanity in the process. We see in our world people who hold the science and evolution as fact and reality and as gospel truth. It's not a theory to them. All the while, they dismiss the truth of God's word and label it as an outdated and superstitious book. But David, though, says God has an answer to such people. And it's really not what we would expect. He answers them with the praise of an unlikely group of people. And so David says, out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength or a stronghold because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. The honor of God's majestic name is so secure that he leaves the defense of his name to babies and infants. We might use the sophisticated and strong, the apologist and the arguer, but not God. God is content with the weak and the helpless, babies and infants. He uses the praise they utter, and it is precious. I remember one Christmas Eve candlelight service when my sister Caitlin was two. She was just beginning the talk and began to sing one of the hymns, Once in Royal David's City. She sang David, city, cattle, baby. Sound-wise, it was rough. She was off-key, words behind, and at one point the hymn just started making up her own words to the lyrics. However, it was beautiful and precious. It was the prettiest thing I've ever heard in my life, and I've heard some wonderful solos in choirs. I can still picture her sitting on the pew, singing that hymn off-key in five words behind. The very fact that infants can speak and praise God is really all the strength and stronghold that his name and honor needs. Their confession doesn't go into debates or arguments, but it's God's rebuke to those who were wise in their own eyes. Really talk about majesty and might. But David isn't done reflecting just yet. It is as if David takes us up on a high mountain and says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. Do you know how many stars there are estimated to be in our universe? A septillion stars. How many zeros are that? 24. Our galaxy, the Milky Way, is considered to be an average-sized galaxy, and that's thought to have about 400 billion stars. And they say there are about 160 billion galaxies in our universe. Multiply those two numbers together to get a septillion. That's a lot of stars. That's a lot of galaxy. That's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of space. Our universe is immense and gigantic. And when you and I are compared to the scope of it all, we're literally just a drop in the bucket, a drop in the ocean, if that. We are small and insignificant. And reflecting on this, David wonders and says, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you care for him? Despite the magnitude and majesty, the wonder and fullness of all creation, God notices you. He sees little, old, unimportant, average, run-of-the-mill, status quo you. You are important. You are valuable. You are noticed. But more than that, God is mindful of you. One author beautifully says, mindful has a compassionately purposeful ring, since God's remembering always implies his movement toward the subject of his memory. When we remember things, it's often simply just a recalling. We might remember the things we have to do after church or a past vacation or some memories that are important to us. But when God remembers things, it always involves action. He acts for you and on your behalf. He saves you. He moves towards us in Christ by his word and spirit. He's mindful of you. And he also cares for you. There are millions upon millions upon millions of animals in our world. There are billions of galaxies, a septillion stars, yet God cares for you. He's concerned for you. He cares what's going on in your life. Your problems are His concern. What are they? Health, money, relationship, anxiety, depression, all of the above. He cares. He provides for you, gives you house and home, family and friends, food and drink, faith, and a church family. He protects and watches over you. He cares, and He cares for you. And on top of it all, David is amazed that God has given man, humanity, a special place and dominion in all of this. Really, what is man? He says, you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet. When God created Adam and Eve, He created them to have dominion over the earth and everything in it. He created sun, moon, and stars to serve them. He created them in His image so they could be righteous and holy and live in a happy fellowship with Him. But sin ruined all of this. Man's fellowship, our fellowship with God, is broken. Our dominion has been diminished. Mankind no longer has uncontested dominion over the earth. Humans kill animals. Animals kill humans. Humans kill humans. Viruses can kill. Disease destroys. Thorns infest the ground. We battle weeds and pests and floods and droughts. People die in natural disasters. We live dishonorable lives and do inglorious deeds. We don't take care of God's creation. We're terrible stewards. What is man? He's a sinful, broken mess who has lost God's dominion and image. But remember, our Lord's name is majestic in all the earth. God is mindful of you and He cares for you. And so He sent Christ, the second Adam, the Son of Man, to regain that dominion and image we lost, to restore it to us. He lowered Himself by taking on human flesh for you. And for me, He wore a crown of thorns and not a crown of glory and bore our dishonorable and glorious deeds. He died, but rose again and has ascended on high and is seated at God's right hand where He is crowned with glory and honor, where all power in heaven and earth has been given to Him. Adam brought death, but Jesus brings eternal life. Adam brought sin, but Jesus gives grace. Adam lost dominion. Jesus rules the world for the benefit of His people. Sin made the glorious view of man untrue. Jesus makes it true once again through our baptism and His saving work. What is man? A sinful, broken mess. What is man in Christ? Forgiven and made new. Really, what is man that God is mindful of him? What is man that God would do all of this and give it to you and to me? No wonder David ends our psalm by repeating verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.